Can a subtle shift in focus really make that big of a difference in your business and in your income? Our guest today says absolutely yes. Bob Berg is a sought-after speaker at company leadership and sales conferences. He regularly addresses audiences ranging in size from 50 to 16,000. He has shared the platform with notables including today's top thought leaders, broadcast personalities, Olympic athletes, and political leaders, including a former United States president. He is co-author of the international bestseller, The Go-Giver, and Go-Givers Sell More, and author of Endless Referrals and numerous other books, with more than a million copies sold in total. The Go-Giver has been translated into 21 languages. His newest book is Adversaries into Allies, Win People Over Without Manipulation or Coercion. Bob is an advocate, supporter, and defender of the free enterprise system, believing that the amount of money one makes is directly proportional to how many people they serve. He's also an unapologetic animal fanatic and serves as vice president of the board of directors of Furry Friends Adoption and Clinic in his town of Jupiter, Florida. Welcome, Bob. I'm really delighted to have you here today.
Oh, I'm honored to be with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. The honor is mine. If you'd like, let's talk about how the Go-Giver methodology helps build a referral business.
Sure.
So, okay. Your title, The Go-Giver, seems to contradict traditional wisdom. Is that intentional? What is the basic premise of your book?
That's a great question. Because, yes, the title, The Go-Giver, is a little bit counterintuitive, a bit of a pattern interrupt, as they'd say in the marketing world, where it makes someone maybe stop and think, what could this be about? And so just like the headline of a sales letter, you like your title to be something that is catchy. And, of course, it has to be congruent with the message itself, which we hope it is. The basic premise is simply that shifting one's focus, and that's really the key, shifting one's focus from getting to giving. And in this context, when we say giving, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing value to others. And that doing so is not only a nice way to live life, but a very financially profitable way as well. And this is something that your coaches certainly can, it's very congruent with what they're doing because they're already very focused on the value they're giving their clients.
Oh, absolutely. And I've experienced this myself recently. I talked with someone that was in my mastermind group, and we were talking about how we could work together. And then I sent her some info after we talked that would be helpful to her, and then she's offered me a job.
Wow. Yeah, don't you love that? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So isn't this just saying that nice guys finish first? And while that's a nice idea, isn't it perhaps a little bit naive?
Well, it would be naive, and fortunately, that's not what it's saying. though it sounds like that, right? With a title like The Go-Giver, it sounds, just be nice and give, right? But no, it's, being a nice person, nice guy, nice gal, nice person is a great thing in and of itself, but just for its own sake. And also, it's very helpful in building a business because, let's face it, most people, given the chance, would rather do business with someone nice rather than someone nasty. But no, it's much more than that. Being nice, while again great and helpful, is not enough to make one successful. And I think we can say that with confidence only because you and I and everyone listening to this call, we're all business people, and we know there's plenty of people that we would describe as being simply nice people who we would also have to describe as simply broke people. So no, it's not enough in and of itself. Success is also a matter of doing the correct things in the success process that allows someone to be successful and finish first, if you will. And the five laws that John David Mann, my excellent co-author, and I share in the book, which is a story, it's a business parable, is simply meant to share those principles that if someone will tap into them and apply all five of them, and it needs to be all five. It can't be one, two, three, or even four, but all five of the principles, they absolutely will be successful in what they're looking to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I really love this book. I just want to say that as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's a business book that you can read at night as a bedtime story. It's not going to keep you up like that.
I was going to say, hopefully that doesn't mean you read it to go to sleep, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't mean that. I like to read when I go to bed, but this one, it's not like it's dry.
No, I hear you. I totally understand.
Yeah, I always get a lot of value from it.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And so Joe, the character in the book, he's described as a go-getter. And I used to think that being a go-getter was a good thing. Are you saying that's not true?
Oh, no. Being a go-getter is still a great thing. It always was and always will be. John David Mann and I love go-getters because go-getters get things done. They take action. And again, as business people, which all of us on this call are, we know you can have the best ideas, the greatest thoughts, and certainly the highest of intention. But unless action's put into the mix, nothing's going to happen. So, no, being a go-getter is a great thing. Now, fortunately, you know, the good news is there is no natural division between a go-getter and a go-giver. Many go-getters are also go-givers. And we would say that every go-giver is also a go-getter. The opposite of a go-giver is a go-taker. And that's that person whose entire focus is on take without having added value to the other person, to the process, to the situation. And these people, and you know, we all know several of these people probably, and they can be nice people, but they tend to be very frustrated because they tend not to be as successful as they think they should be. And even those times when they do hit upon a success, and they do, of course, it tends to not be it tends to be short-lived, I should say, because it hasn't been built on the correct foundation. And yet they tend to think everyone else is naive. But again, that's where they are, and that's where they are in their growth at this time. When we use the term go-giver, we're really talking about that man or woman who has learned, or perhaps always intuitively knew, that it's that person who can again, shift their focus from an I focus or a me focus to an other focus, always looking for ways to create or give value to others. That's the person who accomplishes the most.
Oh, absolutely. That, very well said. So what are these five laws that if people would only follow them, that they must be successful regardless of the economic climate? Mm-hmm. And how can you be so confident to assure people that by following them that it'll result in success?
Well, I think we can be confident about it only because we didn't make these up. You know, if we made them up, well, then, yeah, that would be, you know, wow, what are these guys saying? But no, these are tried and proven principles that have been around since people have been doing business with one another, especially in a free market type environment where people are not forced to buy from each other or, you know, do business with each other. So these are just things that have worked, and John and I may have given them names, the names of the different laws and describe them in a story form. But no, these are principles that have been around forever. The five laws themselves are the laws of value, compensation, influence, authenticity, and receptivity. And the first one is really the foundational law. I mean, you know, they're all just as important. Again, you've got to use all five. But the first one, the law of value, is really the one that establishes the foundation for this. And the law of value simply says that your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Now, when you first hear this, it's a little counterintuitive because it almost sounds like you're saying, you know, you shouldn't be making a profit, right? Give more in value than you take in payment. And a person could rightly say, well, wait a second. You know, that sounds like one of these nicey nice things that wouldn't really work in the real world. I mean, how do you give more in value than you take in payment and survive in your business, never mind thrive in your business? And so we simply have to understand, we simply need to understand the difference between price and value. And this is key because price is a dollar amount. It's a dollar figure. It's finite. It simply is what it is. Value, on the other hand, is the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something, to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, this service, this concept, this idea, that brings with it so much worth or value to someone that they will willingly exchange their money for it and be ecstatic that they did while you make a very, very healthy profit? to give an example outside of coaching, let's say, and then we'll come back and we'll bring it back to that. Let's say you hire an accountant to do your taxes, and this accountant charges you, we'll just name a round figure, $1,000. That's his fee, or literally it's his price, $1,000. But what value does he give you in exchange for this $1,000? Well, first, through his years of study, his hard work, his dedication, his getting to know you and your business, asking you the questions that helps him understand what you're looking to accomplish, he is able to save you $5,000 in taxes. He also saves you countless hours of time that frees you up to do what you would rather be doing, can be more productively doing. He also provides you with the security and peace of mind of knowing it was done correctly. So we see here that, again, while price is finite, value is both concrete in terms of the $5,000 savings. That's pretty easy to get our arms around. But also it's conceptual in terms of the peace of mind that he provided you, which probably holds more worth or value than even the money itself. So what he did is he gave you well over $5,000 worth of value or use value in exchange for a $1,000 price. So you feel just fantastic about it. And he made a very, very healthy profit, which he should. And this all originates not because he was focused on what on the money. He was focused on the value he was providing you. And that's why we say that money is simply an echo of value. It's the thunder to value's lightning, which means that the value must come first. And the money you receive is simply a very natural and direct result of the value you've provided. And it's the same with any of your coaches. When they provide their coaching services, they charge a certain fee, and I hope it's a hefty fee. I hope it's a good fee, because they're giving wonderful value to this person. They're helping a person transform their lives. They're helping a person to feel better about themselves, to be more effective, to be healthier, wealthier, to be able to be so much more effective than they would have been without the services of the coach. So this person's still receiving much, much more in use value than what they're paying, and yet the coach is making a very, very healthy profit. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Very well said. Thank you very much for explaining that. So do you want to go into the other laws?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Well, the law of compensation says your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. So where law number one says to give more in value than you take in payment, law number two tells us that the more people whose lives you add this kind of exceptional value to, the more money with which you'll be rewarded. As Nicole, one of the mentors in the story, tells Joe, the protege, law number one, as important as it is, that represents only your potential income. Law number two, which is all about the number of lives you impact, that equals your actual income. So we can say that when we combine the two laws, exceptional value plus significant reach equals very high compensation. And one wonderful way to be able to touch the lives of more people is through referrals, because referrals provide several advantages to the coach that they can use to serve more people. One, referred prospects are easier to set the appointment with. Two, with referred prospects, price is generally less of an issue. That doesn't mean it's a non-issue or not an issue, but it's less of an issue because you're going in on borrowed influence. This person has already heard about you and how great you are and how helpful you've been. So the person is looking at, wow, how can this coach help me, more than what am I going to have to pay him or her. You know, we know that when you try to make low price the issue, you're looked at as sort of a commodity rather than a resource. In fact, I always say, sell on price, you're a commodity. Sell on value, and you're a resource. Third, it's simply easier to complete the transaction because you're going in on borrowed influence, or what we call vicarious experience. This new prospect already has experienced you vicariously through the person who referred you. And finally, a great benefit of building a referral business for a coach is that this person who you're meeting is already of the mindset that that's how you do business because that's how they met you. So in their world, their paradigm, their belief system, you simply meet new prospective clients through referral. You sell on value rather than price. You complete the transaction, and you then receive more referrals. So law number two is all about increasing the number of people whose lives you're able to impact with the exceptional value you provide.
All right. That's wonderful. And then they don't need to spend so much time on marketing. They can spend more time on providing value and increasing the value that they provide to their clients,
exactly.
Which will end up with more referrals, better results, more referrals.
Right on the mark. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Now, law number three is the law of influence. And the law of influence says your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. Now, again, this sounds counterproductive at best and perhaps even downright Pollyanna. Ish at best, and yet, you know, you think about it, all the great leaders, top influencers, very financially profitable coaches, this is simply how they conduct their lives and run their businesses. I mean, they're always looking for ways to place other people's interests first. In other words, they're always thinking about making this other person's life better, easier, just like you did with the person who you met. You immediately looked at not what can I get from this new relationship. You looked at how can I give value to this person. And, you know, and I just want to point something out, and this is very important, I believe. And when we say place other people's interests first, we certainly do not mean you should be anyone's doormat or a martyr or self-sacrificial in any way. That's not what we're saying. Anything you do when you place other people's interests first should always first be congruent with your values, and secondly, should always be win-win in nature. But what we mean is this. It's like Joe, the protege, heard from several of the mentors of the story, the golden rule of business is that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. And there's no faster, more powerful, or more effective way to elicit those feelings toward you from others than by, again, stepping outside yourself, moving from that I focus or me focus to an other focus, or as one of the mentors, Sam, told Joe, making your win about the other person's win. And, you know, that can be as simple as when you meet someone, if you're at a, you know, somewhere and you're meeting someone, whether it's someone new, whether it's at a Chamber of Commerce business card event or a charity event or wherever you happen to meet someone, it's focusing on them, you know, asking them what they do, not talking about you and your business, but asking them questions such as what do they do? What do they enjoy most about what they're doing, about what they do? Here's one key question that when you're in a conversation you can ask someone that will transform your business because it will attract people to you. And this is to ask this person, you know, how can I know if someone I'm speaking with would be a good prospect for you? Or even, you know, how can I know if someone I'm speaking with is someone you'd like to meet? And you can even frame that correctly by saying something like, you know, I always enjoy connecting good people with other good people. How can I know if someone I'm speaking with is a good prospect for you? So,
oh, yeah, that's great. Thank you. Those are wonderful questions.
My pleasure.
And I appreciate you clarifying the law of influence and not being a doormat. It's important.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And then law number four is the law of authenticity. And very quickly, it's just, you know, the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. And I think this is something that all your coaches, they already do. This is, you know, the person who understands that you've got to bring your own self to the game. You've got to bring yourself, you know, day after day, week after week, month after month, you operate as yourself. And part of being able to do that is really having an understanding of the value you bring to the table. That's why it's so important to know your strengths, know your weaknesses too, but to really know your strengths because you're going to lead with those strengths in terms of adding value to other people's lives. It's understanding your market value. You know, what is, Mike Lippman calls them, your assets of value. What is, do you have a sense of empathy that allows you to really, you know, get into someone's heart and understand? Do you have a way of teaching that people just connect with? Are you someone who, so there's all sorts of ways to do that. But I think to the degree that we really understand the value we provide, that's the degree that allows us to show up authentically and feel very comfortable with ourselves.
Oh, cool. That's a great topic. I think that there should be made training programs just on that one topic.
Thank you. And law number five is the law of receptivity. And this one simply says the key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. And as you might remember in the story, near the end, Pindar, the main mentor, asked Joe, the protege, to breathe out and to continue to breathe out as Pindar counted. And you know, Joe tried it. After a very short while, he was running out of air, gasping for breath. And Pindar said, "What's the matter, Joe? Can't do it." And Joe says, "No, I can't just breathe out." And Pindar said, "Well, Joe, what if I was to tell you it's been medically proven that it's actually healthier to breathe out than it is to breathe in?" And Joe laughed. He said, "That's, yeah, that's silly. You got to do both." And of course, we do both. We breathe out, we breathe in. We breathe out, which is giving. We breathe in, which is receiving. You know, we receive, I shouldn't even say receive, but there are so many negative messages from the world in terms of a lack kind of thinking, a money is bad and those who make money did it on the backs of others and blah, blah, blah. And it's so many just horrible, horrible messages we receive that, you know, it can make a person on the subconscious level and on the unconscious level really buy into that lack instead of buying into all the abundance that's there. And so what we've got to do is make sure that we ourselves don't have an issue with that. See, it's not a matter of being a giver or a receiver, right? It's a matter of being both. We give and we receive. Giving and receiving are not opposite concepts. Giving and receiving are simply two sides of the very same coin, and they work in tandem. The key is simply the focus, and this brings us back to where we started. We focus on the giving of value. We focus on the giving, and then we need to allow the receiving. And sometimes coaches have a challenge with that because coaches, by their very nature, are just they so want to help others and they so want to help people transform themselves, and yet sometimes they don't allow themselves to receive the abundance that they deserve as a result of providing so much value to others.
Yeah, I'd agree, Bob. And also one perspective on this, well, abundance is always flowing and we can just tap into it.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, when receiving, you're giving the other person an opportunity to give,
mm-hmm.
and giving is the cause of receiving. So if you don't receive, you're actually preventing them from receiving in the future, too.
Exactly. You're stopping the flow.
I'd like to read a quote out from Chapter 3 and make a comment on this.
Okay.
Joe still wondered about this whole giving business and whether or not this trade secret contained anything that would really work for him. "But it's sure working for Pindar," he mused as he drove up the broad tree-lined drive. "And it wasn't just the man's resume and magnificent property. The guy radiates success," he thought. "It's not just money. It's something far more powerful than money." So I often say that the energy that we hold and give off is the most important and powerful part of our communication. Is that the thing that Joe is referring to, Pindar's energy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the overall essence, the overall sense of who Pindar is. Because when you think of it, what you have to offer, you give least of all through what you say. I mean, it's important. What you say is certainly important, but it's probably the least important. More important is what you do, but even that is superseded by who you are. And
oh, yeah.
That's what he noticed about Pindar. It was who he is. And that's really what, but I like what you said. It's that, you know, it's that the energy. It's and I think we can sense it in people. We can sense when that certain energy is there, and that energy, what that energy represents, and really the energy represents the essence of that person.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to dig into it a little bit more. So after they visit Sam, the wildly successful financial services consultant that everyone loves, Joe and Pindar talk about what the three mentors that they've met so far have in common. Joe realizes that they're all magnetic. So what makes people magnetic?
Well, the answer was giving. And it was,
yeah.
And as we say, it's giving value to others. And remembering something, and this is very important for people to remember, that value is always in the eyes of the beholder. It's not what we believe is of value to them, and it's not what we believe should be of value to them. It's what they believe is of value. And that's why, as a good coach, you ask questions. You know, it's why, as a good salesperson, you also ask questions. And as a coach, you are a salesperson. You are selling your services. And rather than being a bad word, selling, which a lot of coaches just, you know, they just don't like, let's understand what selling is. Selling is not trying to convince someone to buy something they don't want or need. That's not selling. That's called being a con artist. Selling, by its very definition, is simply discovering what somebody wants, needs, and desires and helping them to get it. And the way you help them to get it, yeah, exactly, is to ask questions and to listen, to give time, attention, counsel, education, empathy, and most of all, value. So, you know, that's really the key. But we always have to understand that value is in their eyes, in the eyes of the beholder. It's about them, not about us.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that. It's actually, my thought kind of just disappeared, so we can just move on. So one interesting and questionable thing that you say in the book is that you can't make a sale. What do you mean by that?
Right. We said you can't make a sale, and people ask about it. Of course you can make a sale. You got to make sales. We make sales every day. Here's what we mean by that. In the basically free market system in which we live, which is embodied by, when we say free market, we mean when no one has to buy from you. Okay, when no one is forced to do business with anyone else. That's a free market system. And in this system, you can't make anyone, you know, you can't make a sale because you can't make anyone do anything they don't want to do. What you can do is you can create the environment where that person knows, likes, and trusts you, where they respect you and your judgment, where they choose to buy. And so while you didn't make the sale, you were, the sale happened because they chose to buy, and you were there to receive the sale. Now, someone might say, well, isn't that just semantics? And the answer to that would be, yes, it absolutely is semantics. I'd also say, though, that sometimes semantics are very important. Sometimes they're not, but sometimes they are, and I believe they are here. And the reason why is, you know, not so much in what you tell others about what you do, but in what you're telling yourself about what you do. Because if you believe that your job is to go out there and make the sale, then it's all about you. On the other hand, if you believe you're out there to create the environment where that person chooses to buy based on their own self-interest, based on what they believe is best for them, now you're focused on them, and that's exactly where your focus should be.
Mm-hmm. What, in your opinion, is the biggest mistake that people make when building their referral network?
It's taking their eyes off the fact that it's about those in your network, that you've always got to be looking out for those in your network, looking out for their best interests, looking out for their wins, looking out for ways to connect good people with other good people, looking for ways to provide value to them, to not look at them as the people in your network as your buyers or prospective clients, but to look at them as people with whom you want to create that know, like, and trust relationship based on how much, you know. I define networking as simply the cultivating of mutually beneficial give and receive win-win relationships. The key is the giving part. So when you do this correctly, when you're focusing on them, the people in your network, this is where you have the most success in obtaining referrals. But when people in a network look at their network as, okay, you know, what are these people worth to me in terms of new business, that's when things go wrong and you find you really don't have a network.
Mm-hmm. So if someone, you mentioned earlier knowing your strengths and weaknesses, so I think it's important to, like, realize the weaknesses and figure out how you can give a more holistic experience to your clients or a more full service by having other great people that you can refer them to. And that's part of building your referral network too, mm-hmm. right?
Sure, whenever you can refer people as resources, absolutely. That's very helpful to everyone because it helps your client, it helps the person to whom you're referring, and it helps you first because you know you're doing the right thing and providing the most value you can, but you're also creating that environment where that other person is now much more likely to refer you when there's something that they feel you can do for their client that they can't.
All right. I'm going to try to ask you a question. Hopefully you don't get often asked. How did you come up with the idea for The Go-Giver?
It really started with a book I used to have that I had for years before that called Endless Referrals, which was really a how-to book for creating a referral business, especially for people who didn't feel necessarily comfortable in the sales or prospecting process. It was about creating those win-win relationships. It was about networking. It was about understanding the know, like, and trust aspect of sales and referrals. And I also, I always loved reading parables, business parables, big fan of them. And I thought it would be a great idea to take the basic concepts and premise of endless referrals and turn it into a parable. My biggest challenge was just that when it came to writing it, I'm not a fiction writer. I'm a how-to author. So I was fortunate enough to team up with John David Mann, who is an absolutely fantastic storyteller. He's a genius as a writer. And so the two of us collaborated on this, and fortunately it's worked out very well.
All right. That's amazing. I would love to hear about how you guys met and created that collaboration sometime. That's one of the things I'm really into.
You know, it's actually very simple. He was the editor-in-chief of a magazine I used to work for, I used to write for, and every month he would send back the edits and the corrections and everything, but he always did it in such a kind, tactful way. And he's always, is this okay? Is this okay? I'd always write him back every month and say, John, not only is it okay, you write my stuff better than I write my stuff. And I also knew of John that he was a great writer, although at the time he wasn't very well known outside of a certain niche market. He's very well known now. He's now been the co-author and ghostwriter of numerous New York Times bestseller-selling books. He's very much in demand. He's brilliant. But back then, not as well known. But fortunately, I did know of him. And he was the only one who I wanted to be the co-author and really the lead writer of the book.
All right. That's great. Do you have a final thought? What's the one thing that people should remember in order to be successful?
Well, I think it's really continuing to learn and continuing to grow. School is never out for the pro, so it's continuing to work at your core competencies. It's continuing to understand how to systemize your business so that you can really invest most of your time doing what you really want to do, which is adding value to your clients' lives through the transformational coaching you're doing. So I'd say it would all come down to continue to learn continue to learn the important aspects, the competency of what you do and how to build the business in a way that makes it a lot more fun, a lot less stressful, and a lot more profitable.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing advice. Absolutely. How can our listeners learn more about where to find your books?
Best thing to do is just go to burg.com, and while they're there, if they'd like, they can subscribe to my Influence and Success Insights, and they can receive Chapter 1 of The Go-Giver, as well as my newest book, Adversaries into Allies.
Awesome. Yeah, I really enjoy your books, and I look forward to reading your new one.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure, absolute pleasure to be on the call. I love the work you're doing.
Thank you, and it's an honor to have interviewed you today. Thanks so much for talking with me.
My absolute pleasure.